can immediately take part in court decisions. This marks the end of the Supreme Court term of the nation's first female High Court Justice, Sandra Day O'Connor. And in his last major piece of business before leaving, pushed borrowing costs to the highest point in nearly 5 years and hinted that another rate increase was possible. Shortly after the federal rate announcement, the Senate, showing broad bipartisan support, approved on a voice vote Ben Bernanke's nomination to be the 14th chairman of the central bank. Bernanke will be sworn in as a Fed chief tomorrow morning. Iran, the black market, and an atomic bomb. That deadly mixture, says the International Atomic Energy Agency, is what Iran is up to these days. The IAEA says Iran bought a document on the black market that can only be used to make an atomic bomb. The finding is in a report to be presented to Iran to the UN Security Council, which could impose economic and political sanctions. The Enron trial opened today with the federal prosecutor telling jurors the case is about lies, not numbers. Prosecutor John Houston told jurors that former Enron chiefs Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling assured investors that all was well, despite that they committed no crimes. Enron was once the seventh largest company in this country. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Siggers. Sorry about that. I'm still a little flustered by the moron's speech. Not his speech, but the arrest of Cindy Sheehan. Here's how the Washington Post is reporting it as of about an hour ago. The Post says Cindy, by police in the House Gallery Tuesday night, just before Bush's State of the Union address, police escorted Sheehan from the Visitor's Gallery above the House chamber after causing a disruption, said a Capitol Police official. She had been invited to the event by Lynn Woolsey, a Democrat of California. I can check. And apparently the disruption was she had a T-shirt on that listed the number of American dead in Iraq. And that constituted a disruption. I don't think she screamed, "You son of a bitch," from her position in the gallery. I don't think she gave Bush the finger. I don't think she threw bags of blood from the visitor's gallery into the chamber below. I don't think she took her pants down and urinated on the senators and the representatives who continually vote against the interests of the American people. I think she just took off her coat and she had on a T-shirt. And she sat down, and then the police busted her. No, that's not a disruption. You want to know what a disruption is? No, I'm not going to scream. A disruption is the ongoing slaughter of children in Iraq with bombs and white phosphorus and brand new, spanking new brands of napalm. A disruption is the bombing of somebody's house in Afghanistan because you get some more phony-ass information that says the number 2 or 3 or 17 or 8 or 7 or whatever the hell it is, man in Osama bin Laden or Iraq or Afghan or somebody's army is in that house. So you go wipe out 18 people in the same family. That is a disruption. I don't give a goddamn what Cindy Sheehan did tonight. She had on a T-shirt. I said I wasn't going to scream. I'm not very good for this job anymore. I really am not, because I can't believe this. And then this weasel goes up to the podium. Oh, did you see all the Democrats slapping him on the back? Did you see at the end? I was watching the end of it right before we come on the air. And I see Mary Landrieu, this turncoat senator from Louisiana, just touching on him and rubbing on him and finally asking for his autograph, for Christ's sake, on national television. And that bloated pig, Candy Crowley, on CNN, talking about how Cindy Sheehan's actions were somehow linked to the Democrats. You fat bitch! She had her son killed! You ugly old woman! Get off CNN with your filthy mouth! She had her son killed in Iraq. What do you do, Crowley? What do you do? You sit there like Jabba the Hutt and talk about Cindy Sheehan wearing a T-shirt. Filthy, ugly old woman. Every single one of them. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. And here you and I sit. Here you and I sit. Listen to this monkey stand up there talking this trash talk, this nonsense. And there sit the Democrats on their side of the aisle, like a bunch of damn automatons, like a bunch of damn robots, like sheep. When everybody is supposed to go, "Woo, look at them," when they all stood up and applauded when Bush said, "Well, last year you didn't enact my Social Security reform bill." And they all grinned and stood up and applauded. Yay, this is our big moment in the sun. Hey, look at us, America. We're embarrassing the president. Har, har, now reelect us so we can go back into Washington and continue to be ineffective, pissant cowards that the Democratic Party's become. Well, what a show. Got an email from Ralph who says the Bush speech tonight contained so many psycho-loaded words But it just can't be chalked up to political BS. No, this is the psychological troops operating at full frequency. The use of brainwave triggering words is deliberate, and unfortunately for most listeners, extremely effective. How many times did you hear the words, Ralph writes, terror, death, killing, blood, destruction, destroy? And in inverse brainwave reaction, how many times did you hear liberty, freedom, sacrifice? These guys, Ralph writes, are not just about greed and power. They want to steal your soul and control your bones. Yeah. I was trying to follow along some of this crapola. Finally gave up and went to the computer and started playing Hearts. I really was. But Bush lost me somewhere between his never surrender to evil foreign policy statement and his wood chips and switchgrass energy reform plan. Christ. Who knows how the state of our union is? We heard a lot about how things are going in Iraq, our plans for Israel and Iran. And, oh yeah, AIDS ravages villages in Africa. Yeah, it still does, doesn't it, Bush? Did you make another $20 billion promise this year? You phony bastard, did you? Then start talking about how he's going to improve the economy through making the tax cuts to the wealthy permanent until 9:40. And somebody ought to tell Chucklenuts, rather than honoring the military families that lost their son or daughter by having the grieving parents and widows stand up in the gallery, why not get them some body armor? Why not get them the hell out of Iraq to begin with? What are you waiting for, Chucklenuts? Iraq has its phony government and its toy constitution. So why are our citizens still killing and dying? And what do you say? We'll cut the deficit in half by the year 2009? Hey, Chucklenuts, number one, that's total bat squeeze, and you know it. And number two, Bill Clinton handed you balanced books in 2000. In fact, he had a surplus for you until you screwed it up. And what's this? He's now in favor of teaching science and will put an end to human-animal hybrids? What the hell was that? Human-animal hybrids? What the hell was he talking about? The island of Dr. Moreau? You know, I've spent many a sweaty sleepless night tormented by visions of scary pigmen and wolf people. I have to have this jackass remind me of the possibilities. All right, so there's a synopsis of the State of the Union speech. What a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of absolute filth. I apologize for my bad language there. But when somebody is arrested who is an invited guest to State of the Union address, you know, I've seen a couple of threads, comment threads around the Internet. People saying, well, she got what she had coming. She wanted to get arrested. Well, she should have had more sense than to show up in a T-shirt. Yeah, that's right. She should have showed up and just took her clothes off and stood there naked. Is there anything to offend the Bush bastard with pure nudity? Probably so. The T-shirt, if I have this right, I don't know. There's so many stories out there right now. It was a T-shirt. It wasn't a banner. She didn't set off firecrackers. She didn't dump bags of blood or urine on the assembled honorees. She wore a T-shirt that had the number of dead. American dead. Not even Iraqi dead. Just American dead in Iraq. And she was arrested for causing a disturbance. That's what Cindy Sheehan did. She caused a disturbance. W is done. I know that you will too. George W. Bush will give a country a push and put us back on the road to what's right and true.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
So Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Strategy, and I won't keep talking about the strategy. It'll yield the victories.
Twenty-two past the hour. All right, let me just report the latest that I have here is from Brad Friedman's blog, bradblog.com. It says here, Brad Blog has confirmed the arrest moments ago, David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org. According to Swanson, Sheehan was arrested for wearing a T-shirt. The T-shirt she was wearing all day, which had the number of U.S. troops killed in Iraq, she was lifted out of her seat in the Capitol Chamber Gallery by the Capitol Police and taken away. Swanson told the Brad blog that Shan is, quote, now under arrest and by Capitol Police. Swanson confirmed that moments ago with Gail Murphy, a co-founder of Cold Pink, an organization that had been working with Shan. Murphy spoke by cell phone with Shan after the arrest, and they are currently arranging for an attorney for her. David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org told BradBlog.com, this is not the Park Police. We're used to getting arrested by them. This was the Capitol Police. Shan didn't even want to go to the speech. She said she couldn't stand to listen to Bush, but she went. She didn't even protest. She was just wearing the same shirt she'd been wearing all day, a black shirt with a number of troops killed. It was already out of date, and she had to add three more to the previous number. Now, reports that Brad Blog is getting, he writes here, are in conflict with the Associated Press's report that Shan had a protest banner prepared to be unfurled. It was, according to our sources, her T-shirt, which seems to be the reason for her arrest. According to the Associated Press, quote, a Capitol Police official reportedly said Shan had unfurled a banner, which is a violation of the House rules. Well, the qualifier there, reportedly said. Brad Blog writes, we cannot confirm the banner reports, and we've been told by several sources the arrest was due to the T-shirt she was wearing, after already being allowed in the Capitol Chamber, where Bush was to deliver his state. Now, on Brad's website, or blog site, there is a photograph, a Reuters news agency photograph, Cindy Sheehan surrounded by men who are taking her away, and I'll be damned if there's a banner there. It's not necessarily, I'm not saying she didn't have one, but I don't see it. And CNN reports that she was arrested after unfurling an anti-war banner, yada, yada, yada. So, here we go, right? I know a lot of people are making the argument that Cindy Sheehan should have known better than to show up and make a protest. But according to what I'm reading here, she didn't show up and make a protest. She showed up as an invited guest by a member of the United States House of Representatives, and she had on a freaking T-shirt. Well, get used to it, because this is this is kind of it, isn't it? Cindy Sheehan is she may have been at one time a political naif where it concerns the best way to handle the camera, so to speak, or the attention. But I don't think she is that any longer, is she? Do you honestly believe? I mean, I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she did show up and try to unfurl a banner. I don't know. But I would think that if she were coming as a guest of a representative, that she understood what the rules are. I'm sure somebody told her. As it stands right now, I'm not buying the story put out there by AP, Reuters, and CNN. I'm just not buying it. I'll stick with what I just read on Brad blog, that she had on a T-shirt that listed the number of dead. And you know how the Bush crime family is about the dead. They only mention the dead when it's politically advantageous to George Bush. The rest of the time, the dead are to sit there quietly. Hey, are you dead? Okay, don't say anything. Don't let anyone know you're there, dead. Bush will call on you, dead, when he needs you. But for the time being, dead, be quiet! Don't parade around in your military uniform with your ashen skin and your head blown off. Sit there quietly, dead. We will call on you when we need you. Dead. As far as the wounded, you shut up too. No arms, no legs. Shut up! Half your head shot off. Did you see those pictures? Did you read the article in today's New York Times? Oh, my God. Of the horrendously, severely wounded, who are now thousands and thousands of America's young men and young women who have gone into Bush's butcher machine and who now have 30, 40, 50 years that people are going to have to take care of them because their brains have been shot away, but they're still alive. They're on respirators, but they're still alive. Their arms and legs are blown off. Their guts are blown out. Thanks to George Bush. Ah, oh, you murderous, filthy son of a bitch. This is just... And so Cindy Sheehan caused a disruption tonight. Wow.
America, but that's no reason to get hysterical. They're laying it on the steer broke. We ain't outlaws, we ain't having it. And we're going to have a
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Oreck XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to wear.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Twenty-six before the hour. All right, there's a threat at Democratic Underground. Headline is Cindy Photos. It's from Reuters, news agency. You can go to Democratic Underground and see these, or use a search engine, type in Cindy Photos, or go to the Reuters news site. I'm looking at four photographs now. Cindy Sheehan did not have a banner. There's no banner, for Christ's sake. She's being escorted to her seat by security personnel in the House of Representatives. She has on a black, appears to be a hooded, one of those hoodie sweatshirts with a silver medallion. She's holding her purse. She has nothing. In the first three photographs. In the fourth photograph, they're surrounding her and taking her away, and you can see just a little bit of her white T-shirt. She probably unzipped her hoodie, and there it was. The KIA number. Jesus Christ. And I'm reading an awful lot of stuff now from on different websites of people saying, oh, Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for me, or you know, boy, did she screw up, or what the hell's wrong with you people, huh? Do you think there might be 8 or 9 million people who were put to death in Nazi Germany who would have loved it if somebody would have spoken out? You think? Maybe 25 or 30 million dead in the old Soviet Union who would have been thrilled to have somebody raise a voice. Ann Coulter says poison should be fed to a Supreme Court justice. And the right-wingers laugh and giggle and slap their knees and pinch your ass. Cindy Sheehan wears a T-shirt, and they put her in handcuffs and arrest her. For God's sake, people, wake up. What do you mean Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for you? You half-witted freak! Of course she does! Jesus! How are you supposed to behave in Bush's America when your son has been murdered by his sick, filthy, degenerate policies? Like that poor, robotized family who sat up there in the gallery, and when Bush introduced them, they stood there. Yeah, our son's dead, but we'll be quiet. No T-shirt. We'll be quiet. Jesus Christ, our hearts are broken, but we'll be quiet. We'll be good sheep. We know he's with Jesus. Thank you, George. Thank you for murdering our son. We're okay now. We love you, George.
If you and I happen to run into each other and you want to tell me that Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for you, shut your mouth. Don't even come near me. I don't even want to be in the same room with you. What are you, a Democrat like Hillary Clinton? Or one of these other sleazy, what, Lieberman, greasy freaks? Is that what you are? Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for me.
Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for me? Stupid bitch shouldn't have done that. Who does she think she is?
God. The brainwashing is so damn near complete in this country. It is just so near complete. It's astonishing. Even people who should know better.
She didn't speak for me.
Go to hell.
Now, this is from Toby Chaturi and Jessica Mantooth. At what is this website, Kathy? Campaign for the Future. Campaign for America's Future. Some real numbers, not this garbage that Bush dumped into the airwaves tonight.
Uh, Out of hell with the numbers. Let's do some phone calls. I'm just too pissed off. Let's do some phone calls. Where are we? Let's start with Lowell in Tampa, Florida, who is, I guess you're still our bureau chief down there. Don't hear from you that often.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been busy doing my own thing.
Yeah.
But, what a charade tonight. It's just like, is this the epitome of a Hitler Youth rally or what?
Oh, my God.
And him exploiting another dead person's family.
Isn't that just disgusting?
Disgusting isn't the word for it, but I can't say it on the air. But
yeah,
And then watching Republican lights like Joe Lieberman standing up and applauding, and for a second I thought he was going to give a Hitler salute at one point, but oh, I swear. And then Hillary Clinton sitting there like, But like I said, the exploitation of yet another military family in the East, and this guy's talking about sacrifice. He wouldn't know sacrifice if it came from bit him in a rear end.
I know.
It took, once again, every ounce of willpower not to yell a lot of profane stuff, and only because my mom was in the room. So I just, when Bush came in when he was introduced, I just went to the TV set, Mom, don't look at this, and I mooned the TV set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like,
you better be careful. Pretty soon you moon the telescreen. You know, the telescreen can look back at you. They'll come and haul your ass away, Lowell, and the rest of your body, too.
I'm so scared.
Well, you better be careful. It's coming.
Yeah, and what's going to probably irk me more, Mr. Law Cabin at my job is probably going to say, did you hear the wonderful speech that our president gave last night? Yeah, I said, I heard the same BS he said last year. Yeah, and he still hasn't explained to me why he believes in Bush, even though Bush is against gay marriage and all this stuff. What a sellout!
Well, this is fascist America. Either get used to it or learn how to. Well, I better not say that right now.
Well, let's put it this way. I think. At this point, somebody from the CIA or whatever might be monitoring our calls to see if we're talking to Bin Laden or somebody.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let me move on. Lowell, thanks for checking in. Take care, okay?
You too, man.
All right. Beth is calling from Minneapolis. Beth, welcome to the program. Hey,
thanks.
Beth.
I'm so glad to be on. I have two comments, and I'm going to question for you.
Mm-hmm.
My first comment is, you know, the progressive cause has always had an uphill battle. I mean, whether it was women's suffrage, whether it was, the abolishment of slavery, civil rights, we have always had to fight. We've always been the underdog. So I don't want people to feel like we're defeated, because we're not. You know, this has been a long struggle, and it's always going to be a long struggle.
Yeah.
My other comment is, I was arrested at our state fair here for protesting Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just my sister and I doing a silent protest amongst about 70 Bush supporters. And I took it all the way to court for 5 months, and the judge threw it out because it was so baseless. The next thing I have to ask you is, because I don't know where I've been, but I read an article today by Tom Friedman,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about the speech he wanted Bush to give. And in it, he brought up these, you know, these governments that are like our enemies in the energy thing, and he mentioned Venezuela. Mike, when did Venezuela become an adversary?
Friedman said that Venezuela's our enemy?
Well, that's what Tom Friedman said, and I was just like, you know, wait a minute. He mentioned Iran, Sudan, and Venezuela. And I don't know if I've been missing something? I mean, when
you just have to consider the source. Tom Friedman is most people I talk to are in agreement that Tom Friedman is a paid CIA operative who writes for the New York Times. That's all. This is nothing unusual. Friedman is like Judith Miller. He is a bell ringer for U.S. imperialism. I don't like him. So you have to consider the source. I don't think Venezuela's our enemy. Maybe Venezuela's Bush's enemy because Venezuela won't allow Bush to come in and take all the oil.
Well, that's what I want people to realize is that, you know, this whole axis of evil comes up and we're starting to throw countries out there. People better think of who knows about Venezuela, who reads about it, who studies it, who knows.
Right.
It just concerns me. I mean, why are we going after a country like this?
Yeah.
Who knows where it's going to
Well, the main reason is because
oil.
Hugo Chavez is a leftist, and
yes.
He sits on. I think Venezuela provides the United States with a third of our imports. So naturally, the Bush crime family would like to have utter control of that like they do in Iraq. Hey, listen, thanks. I got to go, Beth. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
If you take vitamin E, listen up. This is Larry King to tell you about a different form of vitamin E, Ester E. I take Ester E because it's not like any other vitamin E. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And because it's all natural, it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Take Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
That fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
I was standing. You were there.
It's about 10 before the hour. Email from Craig in North Carolina. Mike, the most revolting comments from Bush were invoking Mrs. King. She was doing all she was doing while he was drinking, burning frat boys with cigarettes, coke, using cocaine, and later working for a friend of his daddy's, Southern Strategy senatorial candidate from Alabama. This closet racist invoking Mrs. King invoked the hydrochloric acid creeping up my esophagus. Yeah, from Craig and Boone. Thanks, Craig. Yeah, as you all know, Coretta Scott King died today. And by virtue of the fact that I live in Atlanta for the past 35 years, what would you say, Kathy? I knew her? Yeah, I knew her. I've marched with her in Cumming, Georgia. I know her son, Dexter. I know Marty King. I don't know the girls. And it's sad. And she was 78. And Mrs. King certainly was not Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but she was part of that. Her life was as much on the line as his and her kids back then. And what was Bush doing back then? Yeah, as many drugs as he could stuff up his nose and grab it as much ass as he could. To see all those white Southerners in the gallery of the house there, the white Southerners from the House and the Senate applauding what in secret they would refer to, and I can't even say it on the air, a woman that they would refer to, you know, the N-word. And it was the very same kind of practices that Bush is dumping on the American people right now that J. Edgar Hoover dumped on Dr. King. Wiretap him, open his mail, sneak around, assassinate him. Sons of bitches. Oh, well. Back to the phone calls. Nikki is calling from Dallas. Nikki, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Not even a couple really strong Texas margaritas could stop the pain from coming home tonight and turning on the State of the Union and just hearing every single thing he said and just thinking, liar, and these are not your words and this is not what you mean. And the worst part about it was seeing Judge Alito sit there in his black robe up front and get acknowledged and applauded, and I'm just devastated.
Yeah, I know.
And I just, maybe I didn't care as much as I should have 10 years ago, but I care now. And I just don't know what to do to ensure that the future will be better, you know, for the American people. I just don't, I'm just devastated.
Well, Nikki, you're not alone in that. I wish you or I or somebody had an answer here, but I think the only answer is to brace ourselves for what's coming and work like crazy people from the ground up to overthrow what has been imposed on the United States. They did it in the late 18th century when this country declared its independence, and
right.
And we may have to do that again. We may have to just toughen up and go to work. Hopefully armed insurrection will never take place in this country. Hopefully we can work from the ground up very slowly, make sure that our people, that would be normal Americans, progressives, Democrats, liberals, Greens, whatever, are on the boards of elections. That somebody sent me an email and said, you know, while you're talking about running for county commissioner, don't forget the board of election or the election supervisors. They are the ones that control. Remember what Stalin said, anybody can vote, it's who counts the votes that's important.
Right.
And but that's the only thing I can think to do. There are no quick answers here. These Nazis, it took them the better part of 40 years to get where they've gotten to, and they're there. They did it. And either we can do it or we can't. But I think it's probably worth the fight, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Especially being down here in Texas, you know, just surrounded by, I have to drive the...
Hey, talk to me. I live in Georgia, sweetheart. I live in Georgia. At least you have Austin.
Well, you don't have to drive the George Bush Turnpike every day either. And
no, we have Ronald Reagan Freeway.
I throw my 75 cents in and chuck at the finger, like, all at the same time.
Well, listen, if you can handle it and you're not driving any place tonight, you don't have to get up early. Have another margarita for me, okay?
Oh, I came home to ease the pain a little bit more, but I appreciate everything that you're doing, and we'll just have to fight the fight.
That's what else is there, Nikki?
Have a great night.
All right, you too. Take care. You know, I think maybe what we need to do is remember what Coretta Scott King's husband did with John Lewis and Jesse Jackson and Ralph David Abernathy, and the list just goes on and on and on. What did they do? You know, most of the people who listen to this program are white. That gives you perfect camouflage. Can you imagine being black in this country 50 years ago? Huh? And working for your civil rights and having a brother or sister, literally speaking, or a brother or sister in spirit, butchered, hanged, dumped in a dam someplace, run over, burned. Got to fight, got to resist, got to fight, got to organize. Saul Alinsky. With an I on the end of it. Got to organize. Or a Y on the end of it. Jesus, I did it again. A Y on the end of it. Got to organize. Got to fight. Got to work from the ground up. Got to fly beneath the radar until the time comes. And then, like Dr. King, you burst out like a sunrise.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When I created the 8-pound Orrick XL, I created a new category of vacuum. It's hypoallergenic. And why is hypoallergenic so important? Because it offers incredible filtration and traps over 99.99% down to 0.3 microns of that nasty dust that carries germs. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or 30-day home trial. Because cleanliness is next to Orrickness.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Piazza. President Bush targeted the economy, health care, security, and oil in his fifth State of the Union speech this evening. Bush also proposed ending this country's dependence on foreign energy. Earlier today, Democrats attacked Bush's anticipated proposals, with Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid saying health savings accounts wouldn't help people who needed them. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi charged the president and vice president will remain captives of the oil industry. The president's speech, not without controversy. Iraqi war protester Cindy Sheehan was arrested moments before the president spoke. She apparently planned to unfurl an anti-war banner in the House gallery. Greenspan out, Bernanke in. That the main order of business at the Federal Reserve today. Greenspan, in his last major piece of business before leaving, pushed borrowing costs to the highest point in nearly 5 years and hinted that another rate increase was possible. Shortly after the Fed's rate announcement, the Senate, showing broad bipartisan support, approved on a voice vote Ben Bernanke's nomination to be the 14th chairman of the central bank. Bernanke will be sworn in as the Fed chief tomorrow morning. Sam Alito now sits on the Supreme Court. The Senate voted him in this afternoon. The swearing-in took place at the Supreme Court building. It was a private ceremony. The oath was administered by Chief Justice John Roberts. Alito took both the constitutional and judicial oaths so he can immediately take part in court decisions. This marks the end of the Supreme Court term of the nation's first female high court justice, Sandra Day O'Connor. $85 million will be set aside for sexual abuse victims in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Covington, Kentucky. A judge approved the settlement, one of the largest deals the church has reached with the U.S. parishioners who were molested by the clergy. The settlement covers 361 victims who claim they were abused over a period of 50 years by priests in a diocese that once included 57 counties across a large swath of Kentucky. Judge John Potter said a desire by the Covington Diocese to make reparations to the victims contributed to the settlement. Unconstitutional. That's a ruling from a second federal appeals court on the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in California says the measure is vague and lacks an exception for cases in which a woman's health is endangered. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has also upheld a federal judge's ruling in Nebraska that the act is unconstitutional. The case has been appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, they're starting to get it right now. This is from NBC News and News Services. Blah, blah, blah about Cindy Sheehan's arrest. Capitol Police Sergeant Kimberly Schneider said Sheehan had worn a T-shirt with an anti-war slogan to the speech and covered it up until she took her seat. Police then warned her, then she, you know, she opened up her jacket. Police warned her that such displays were not allowed, but she did not respond. The T-shirt bore the words, 2,245 dead, how many more? In reference to the number of U.S. troops killed in Iraq. Police handcuffed Sheehan and removed her from the gallery before Bush arrived. Sheehan was to be released on her own recognizance. Blah, blah, blah. Now, the person that sent me this is Rick from Los Angeles, and he writes as a follow-up to the NBC article here, as far as the losers out there who say, Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for me, of course she doesn't. She speaks for her son and asks, what was the noble cause her son died for? She speaks for her brave son, not the spineless. Yeah, so I ran across a huge thread tonight on one of the message boards. Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for me. Oh, you dumbass. Of course she doesn't speak for you. Just like Rick says, she speaks for her son. The hell is wrong with people? And Rick quotes Ben Franklin, who said, quote, it is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. Not anymore, Rick. Not anymore. The first responsibility of every citizen is to shut up, be very quiet, act respectful. Just like in 1984, as Winston Smith, he's got it figured out. When anytime he's in within the scope of the telescreen, put a look on his face of quiet concern, or, you know, put the right expression on, and for Christ's sake, don't wear a T-shirt that has the number of American dead on it to a statement by Herr Bush. Reg over at TV News Live sends me this. George Bush's handlers understand the mentality of their audience, Mike. This was an evening of cheerleading for the illusory greatness of America. Bush stoked the faltering egos of Americans who have to be told that they are the greatest people in every single aspect of life on this planet. Notice that so many phrases spoke to the need for America to lead the world in just about everything, from initiatives in industry to economics to democratizing the world. How clever that was. That theme appealed to the basest need of so many Americans to believe that they are superior to all other peoples and cultures in the world. God bless the great American was the subliminal theme. For we are the greatest nation in the world. We can do no wrong. We commit no crimes. We cause no suffering anywhere. Even more, the speech clearly said it was the responsibility of Americans to spread their greatness and determine how all other nations must be governed. It was a let's feel good about ourselves speech that ignored the crimes of the Bush regime and the horror it has inflicted on this country and the world. I could not listen to the speech in its entirety because I really began to have stomach pains that warned of a possible ulcer should I continue to listen. But I heard enough. There is no war. There are no homeless. There are no uninsured or unemployed Americans. There's no global warming. There's nothing at all that is wrong with life in this country or the world that can't be cured by the Patriot Act or making the tax cuts permanent or allowing the bastard to spy at will. And, of course, abstinence will cure AIDS now that the major funding is going to church groups who know just how to fight this terrible scourge. And for the record, Cindy Sheehan speaks for me. She's the only American in that room who showed any conviction or courage. Those who disown her just don't get it. But they will when and it's too late to understand. Thanks, Reg. Well done. And I've gotten other really great emails tonight. I'd like to read them all, and I can't. Some of you, I got one here from Angie she says, if Cindy Sheehan had shown up in a business suit, they'd still have arrested her. She had nothing to unfurl. Do you think she had gotten past security carrying a lethal weapon like that? Paper! It's very dangerous, you know. It's flammable, but even worse, it reaches a national TV audience when there are words written on it. And Angie goes on with a very eloquent email. Thanks, Angie. Just an awful lot of great stuff being written here. I don't know why you people don't have your own blogs. Jesus, you all are so good. You all are such good writers. It's incredible. Kathy and I are always humbled by this audience. I don't mean you little pissy right-wing lurkers who don't have the sense God gave a sack of doorknobs. I'm talking about the normal people who emailed this program, or who called this program. The emails are just phenomenal. You guys are always, 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 always ahead of the curve. That's one of the reasons I said months ago, don't come to this program for advice or solutions. We ain't got them. This is just a bitch session. A vent. Okay, let's talk with Chris, who's calling in from Cave Creek, Arizona. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Hey. I love your show.
Thank you.
It helps me get through the stress, you know.
Yeah.
Well, something that folks on C-SPAN and other places really haven't covered much, not even in the Democratic response this evening. Well, there was a lot that wasn't covered, but one of the things that disturbed me most was the president's talk of banning of all types of human cloning and parts of human cloning in any form. Well, now I understand where people might be upset about cloning full human bodies, but many steps have been made recently to create parts for people who need parts without creating a full human being. My son is going to be 4 years old in February, mm-hmm. and he has a bad heart.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he's going to need a transplant. Can you imagine how much better it would be if we had some way to give him a heart that was his own that would not be rejected?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I mean, he's just doing this because of the religious nuts.
Yeah. The superstitious, the ones, the cloud-being people, it's insane. It's insane. This might as well be the 12th century.
Well, hi to the NSA folks who are probably listening to the call now because I've publicly disagreed with him.
Ah, screw him. how's your son on a daily basis?
He's very much just like every other kid. He actually doesn't even... If he didn't know that he had a scar on his chest from the first surgery, he wouldn't even know that his heart was bad.
What is it? Can you say what the problem is?
It's called aortic stenosis.
And that means...
The aorta is too small.
Rigid? Too small.
It's restricted. You're right. Restricted is the best word for that. And it's just, he's got to take blood pressure lowering medication to make sure that the blood is able to go through and be circulated. But I have just this to say about it. Anybody in the government who stands between me and my son's health any reason under any circumstances,
I hear you.
If I have to go to another country and then be declared an exile.
What happened? Where, Chris? Did we lose him? Oh, Christ.
Yep, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay. There you are. All right.
Yeah. Anybody who stands in my way of getting my son's heart fixed,
right?
They're going to have to answer to me, and I will be as big a thorn, if not bigger, than Cindy Sheehan.
I hear that. Jesus. Listen, my best to you and your wife and your little boy. What's his name?
Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. He's asleep, right?
Yes, he is. And the other tiny little thing is gay marriage. He doesn't need to tell people that gay people can't marry each other. What is this? When does he start to legislate morality?
Well, I hear you. Kyle, I almost called you Kyle. Chris, I have to leave it there. Here comes the train. Thanks for checking in. Our best to your son, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. It's always going over in his coffin.
much less often. Now everything seems to be the first thing, and it's worse than.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The world can't wait. Bush stepped down. This is Kathleen Chalfant. It seems that every morning we wake up to new evidence of outrageous abuses of power at home and abroad, of corruption, of new assaults on the fundamental principles on which the country was founded. Whatever you call it, neoconservatism, imperialism, fascism, religious fundamentalism, or sheer, blind, greedy, willful incompetence, it's no way to run a country. So let's show them where we stand. In New York, join The World Can't Wait and many, many, many others in Times Square, Tuesday, January 31st, 8 p.m. We'll be standing together with people all over the country drowning out Bush's State of the Union address. We'll be making a joyful noise. We will demand Bush step down. Tuesday, January 31st, Times Square, 8 p.m. Bring noisemakers, pots and pans, musical instruments, your band, your friends, your voice. The future is riding on it. For more information, call 866-973-4463 or worldcantwait.org.
I've been the night before, and I went in seeking clarity.
I
felt it was best to stand on principle, and that is taxpayers' money to use for the use of experimentation that would destroy life is a principle that violates something I mean is a position that violates a principle of mine.
Pointing me in a crooked line. The less I see my source, more something it is. Closer I am to find. Closer I am to find.
23 past the hour. Willie T., who is a regular poster at Democratic Underground, had something up yesterday, and it didn't get a lot of play. A lot of response, and I don't know why. What maybe just a lot of people read it, Willie T., and moved on. I want to quote some of it. They're quotations from Jefferson. They're just a few. When the people fear their government, there's tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's liberty. I believe the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Already they have raised up a moneyed aristocracy that has set the government at defiance. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. I have recently been examining all the known superstitions of the world and do not find in our particular superstition, Christianity, one redeeming feature. They're all alike, founded on fables and mythology. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations, which dare already to challenge our government to a trial by strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. Jesus, Tom, 250 years ago the bastards were doing it, huh? I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion. Help them learn. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Yeah, well, you see, there it is, ignorant and free. Yeah, no way, ain't going to happen. Take a look around you. Jesus, Tom, I'm glad you're not here now. Oh, you go out of your freaking mind. In every country, in every age, the priest has been hostile to liberty. Yeah. I know a lot of these are like Thomas Jefferson standing there saying, see this cup of water? It's a wet substance. I understand. And anybody who doesn't understand that the priest, no matter who he or she is, no matter what religion he or she represents, that person is utterly hostile to liberty. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes. A principle which, if acted upon, would save one half the wars of the world. One man with courage is a majority. Of course, we would say one person with courage, or we might say Cindy Sheehan. Oh, never mind. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the form of kings to govern us? Let history answer this question. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And my favorite, because this so describes every single pissy little Republican or conservative or Bush supporter in the country, and it's this one. Timid men prefer the calm of despotism to the tempestuous sea of liberty. Now, for you right-wingers who don't have a clue what I just said, that means you little cowardly bastards would rather have George Bush pretending to be your daddy figure than to make it on your own and to deal with real freedom. Yeah. So anyway, that was from Willie T., who's one of our favorite posters over at Democratic Underground. Willie T., I don't know why you didn't get 500 responses to your post, but they were great. They were great. All right, stick around. When we come back, we're going to read another little segment of 1984 and then on with the phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda, I'm 52 and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Activate at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just golden coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Thank you.
Time Lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. The poor boy changed his clothes.
It's about 25 before the hour. Got an email here from Peter Werby, who fills in for me on this network periodically. Of course, he should have his own show on this network, but that's a whole different story, and those decisions are made way above my pay grade. But he was recently in Venezuela, along with Cindy Sheehan and thousands of other people, for the World Social Gathering, World Social Forum. And he sent me a picture of him and Cindy on the street in Caracas following a press conference conducted by Cheyenne Medea Benjamin and Fernando Suarez, who also lost a son in Iraq. It was a Code Pink event, and Peter writes, very moving. You can probably see the photo. I don't know if he's got it up tonight, but at his website, peterwerby.com. His last name is W-E-R-B-E. PeterWERBE.com. Thanks, Peter. Good photo. All right, let's continue our reading. When we left off last night, Winston Smith was rousted out of bed, and he was forced to do the exercises conducted by the woman on the telescreen. And while he's doing the exercises, of course, he's thinking about the idiocy and insanity of everything. Screamed the shrewish voice from the telescreen. 6079 Smith W. Yes, you. Bend lower, please. You can do better than that. You're not trying. Lower, please. That's better, comrade. Now stand at ease. The whole squad, and watch me. A sudden hot sweat had broken out all over Winston's body. His face remained completely inscrutable. Never show dismay. Never show resentment. A single flicker of the eyes could give you away. He stood watching while the instructress raised her arms above her head and, one could not say gracefully, but with remarkable neatness and efficiency, bent over and tucked the first joint of her fingers under her toes. There, comrades, that's how I want to see you doing it. Watch me again. I'm 39 and I've had 4 children. Now look. She bent over again. You see, my knees aren't bent. You can do it if you want to, she added as she straightened herself up. Anyone under 45 is perfectly capable of touching his toes. We don't all have the privilege of fighting in the front line, but at least we can all keep fit. Just remember our boys on the Malabar front and the sailors in the floating fortresses. Just think what they have to put up with. Now, try again. That's better, comrade. That's much better, she added encouragingly, as Winston, with a violent lunge, succeeded in touching his toes with knees unbent for the first time in several years. With the deep, unconscious sigh, which not even the nearness of the telescreen could prevent him from uttering when his day's work started, Winston pulled the speakwrite toward him, blew the dust from its mouthpiece, and put on his spectacles. Then he unrolled and clipped together 4 small cylinders of paper which had already flopped out of the pneumatic tube on the right-hand side of his desk. In the walls of the cubicle, there were 3 orifices. To the right of the speakwrite, a small pneumatic tube for written messages. To the left, a larger one for newspapers. And in the sidewall, within easy reach of Winston's arm, a large oblong slit protected by a wire grating. This last was for the disposal of waste paper. Similar slits existed in thousands or tens of thousands throughout the building, but not only in every room, but at short intervals in every corridor. For some reason, they were nicknamed memory holes. When one knew that any document was due for destruction, or even when one saw a scrap of waste paper lying about, it was an automatic action to lift the flap of the nearest memory hole and drop it in. Whereupon it would be whirled away on a current of warm air to the enormous furnaces which were hidden somewhere in the recesses of the building. Winston examined the 4 slips of paper which he had unrolled. Each contained a message of only one or two lines in the abbreviated jargon, not exactly newspeak, but consisting largely of newspeak words, which was used in the Ministry of Truth for internal purposes. They ran, Times 70.3.84 BB Speech Mal Reported Africa Rectified, Times 19.12.83 Forecast 3, YP Fourth Quarter 83 Misprints Verify Current Issue, Times 14.2.84 Minuplenty Mal Quoted Chocolate Rectified, Times 3.12.83 Reported BB Day Order, Double Plus Ungood Roughs Unpersons Rewrite Full Wise Unsub Antifilling. With a faint feeling of satisfaction, Winston laid the fourth message aside. It was an intricate and responsible job and had better be dealt with last. The other three were routine matters, though the second one would probably mean some tedious wading through lists of figures. Winston dialed back numbers on the telescreen and called for the appropriate issue of the Times, which slid out of the pneumatic tube after only a few minutes' delay. The messages he had received referred to articles or news items which, for one reason or another, it was thought necessary to alter, or, as the official phrase had it, to rectify. For example, it appeared from the Times of the 17th of March that Big Brother's speech in such a way as to make him predict the thing that had actually happened. Or again, the Times of the 19th of December had published the official forecast of the output of various classes of consumption goods in the fourth quarter of 1983, which was also the sixth quarter of the ninth three-year plan. Today's issue contained a statement of the actual output, from which it appeared that the forecasts were in every instance grossly wrong. Winston's job was to rectify the original figures by making them agree with the later ones. As for the third message, it referred to a very simple error which could be set right in a couple of minutes. As short a time ago as February, the Ministry of Plenty had issued a promise that there would be no reduction of the chocolate ration during 1984. Actually, as Winston was aware, the chocolate ration was to be reduced from 30 grams to 20 at the end of the present week. All that was needed was to substitute for the original promise a warning that it would probably be necessary to reduce the ration at some time in April. As soon as Winston had dealt with each of the messages, he clipped his speak-written corrections to the appropriate copy of the Times and pushed them into the pneumatic tube. Then, with a movement which was as nearly as possible unconscious, he crumpled up the original message and any notes that he had made himself and dropped them into the memory hole to be devoured by the flames. What happened in the unseen labyrinth to which the pneumatic tubes led, he did not know in detail, but he did know in general terms. As soon as all the corrections which happened to be necessary in any particular number of the Times had been assembled and collated, that number would be reprinted, the original copy destroyed, and the corrected copy placed on the files in its stead. This process of continuous alteration was supplied not only to newspapers, but to books, periodicals, pamphlets, posters, leaflets, films, soundtracks, cartoons, photographs, to every kind of literature or documentation which might conceivably hold any political or ideological significance. Day by day, and almost minute by minute, the past was brought up to date. In this way, every prediction made by the party could be shown by documentary evidence to have been correct. Nor was any item of news or any expression of opinion, which conflicted with the needs of the moment, ever allowed to remain on record. All history was a palimpsest, scraped clean and reinscribed exactly as often as was necessary. In no case would it have been possible, once the deed was done, to prove that any falsification had taken place. The largest section of the records department, far larger than the one on which Winston worked, consisted simply of persons whose duty it was to track down and collect all copies of books, newspapers, and other documents which had been superseded and were due for destruction. A number of the Times, which might, because of changes in political alignment or mistaken prophecies uttered by Big Brother, might have been rewritten a dozen times, still stood on the files bearing its original date, and no other copy existed to contradict it. Books also were recalled and rewritten again and again, and were invariably reissued without any admission that any alteration had been made. Even the written instructions which Winston received, and which he invariably got rid of as soon as he had dealt with them, never stated or implied that an act of forgery was to be committed. Always the reference was to slips, errors, misprints or misquotations which it was necessary to put right in the interests of accuracy. But actually, he thought as he readjusted the Ministry of Plenty's figures, it was not even forgery. It was merely the substitution of one piece of nonsense for another. Most of the material that you were dealing with had no connection with anything in the real world, not even the kind of connection that is contained in a direct lie. Statistics were just as much a fantasy in their original version as in their rectified version. A great deal of the time, you were expected to make them up out of your head. For example, the Ministry of Plenty's forecast had estimated the output of boots for the quarter at 145 million pairs. The actual output was given as 62 million. Winston, however, in rewriting the forecast, marked the figure down to 57 million so as to allow for the usual claim that the quota had been over-fulfilled. In any case, 62 million was no nearer the truth than 57 million. Or 145 million. Very likely, no boots had been produced at all. Likelier still, nobody knew how many had been produced, much less cared. All one knew was that every quarter, astronomical numbers of boots were produced on paper, while perhaps half the population of Oceania went barefoot. And so it was with every class of recorded fact, great or small. Everything faded away into a shadow world in which, finally, even the date of the year had become uncertain.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The world can't wait. Bush stepped down. This is Kathleen Chalfant. It seems that every morning we wake up to new evidence of outrageous abuses of power at home and abroad, of corruption, of new assaults on the fundamental principles on which the country was founded. Whatever you call it, neoconservatism, imperialism, fascism, religious fundamentalism, or sheer, blind, greedy, willful incompetence, it's no way to run a country. So let's show them where we stand. In New York, join The World Can't Wait and many, many, many others in Times Square, Tuesday, January 31st, 8 p.m. We'll be standing together with people all over the country drowning out Bush's State of the Union address. We'll be making a joyful noise. We will demand Bush step down. Tuesday, January 31st, Times Square, 8 p.m. Bring noisemakers, pots and pans, musical instruments, your band, your friends, your voice. The future is riding on it. For more information, call 866-973-4463 or worldcantwait.org.
worry about anything here in Washington, D.C.
It's about 8 before the hour. Very quickly here, an email from someone who attended one of the World Can't Wait to Drive Out the Bush Regime protests. This is from Aurora, who's writing from San Francisco. She writes, I just came back from Union Square in the World Can't Wait Drive Out the Bush Regime protest. It was great. About 5,000 people showed up, drums, whistles, throats, and all kinds of noise-making stuff. The speakers were great, especially a young man organizing students, college students, college professors, a Buddhist monk. It was great. I didn't hear Bush's speech, but I saw him speaking. There was a big screen showing him and the Democrats there. Ugh. All the time he spoke, the noise stayed at high level. I estimate we were hitting at least 70 decibels, probably more. It was good to hug my many friends. They were there, too. I had to make a choice, listen to Bush at home or drown his voice. I think I made the right choice. It was either watch and listen to the moron or protest and be angry, but more determined. I'm in for the duration, for everybody, but especially for my four kids and the three grandchildren they've given me so far. There was a Bush papier-mâché cardboard effigy about 15 feet high, and at the end it was toppled. We were noisy and orderly. The cops were very relaxed and smiled. Aurora. Thanks, Aurora. We might have some more reports from the World Can't Wait Drive Out the Bush Regime protests. I know they were in Washington. I know they were all over the country. You're here in Atlanta, I believe, at CNN. Was there any mention on CNN, Kathy, about any protest outside? Oh, never mind. Why do I even ask? Why do I even ask? All right, phone calls. Back to the phone calls. Mark is calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mark, thanks for holding on.
Mark Frankenberg, just say no to fascism.com.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know, back in the 90s when everybody was mad at the Democrats because they were afraid of big government.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the world. We got a big government, and it's called a police state.
Boy, isn't it.
You know, when this country started, everybody was growing their own food and making their own clothes, and the rugged individualist was everywhere. And
don't make me reach for the ice pick, Mark.
I hear you. What I'm trying to get across is that because most of us are employees, a lot of us have gotten used to watching our government like we would watch a football game, having
right.
no control over it. A lot of people vote like they don't, you know, they're betting on a football game and they're not going to have any control over it.
Isn't that the truth? I get emails like that from these right-wing troglodytes all the time who give me the impression that they think it's all a game, the dumb bastards, while their families are going down the pipes where it concerns any kind of economic security. They don't have any health insurance. Their job is probably going to wind up in India someplace. And these dumb bastards email me like, oh, our side won. You liberals can't win. We scored. You know, I just think to myself, Jesus, I mean, these are 10-year-old comments coming from what? Working, a family, adult men and women? Not very many women. Most of them are these half-witted men. It's astonishing. I understand what you're saying.
We got a bunch of toms living in upholstered slavery, and like Frank Zappa said, sooner or later they're going to tear the set down and you're going to see the bricks at the back of the stage. We can no longer afford to be frogs in a pot of water.
Yeah.
We need to set up canary alerts and lock arms, work together, get a Democratic Congress. I know the Democratic Party is screwed up. They tee me off every time I turn around, but it's all we got to work with.
That's not true.
We need to seize it.
Okay, Mark, that's not true. When you say that's all we've got to work with, I say to hell with the Democratic Party. I'm not saying to hell with Democratic candidates. We're not getting anything back this November. Don't kid yourself because you're setting yourself up for another smash against the brick wall at 80 miles an hour. We're not going to get the Congress back, the House or the Senate or the presidency, for probably 10, 15, maybe 18 years. You got to deal with that, Mark. And the way you deal with it, you go to work. You work on the local level. You learn how to organize. You continue the street protests if that's what you're into, and continue your website. But don't kid yourself, Mark. A vote for most of these Democrats is a vote for stupidity, arrogance, ineffectiveness, and just sucking up to the Republicans. You just saw it. You just saw it with the vote on Alito. Don't go down that road again.
Yes, they sold us out again.
Well, all right. So rather than say it's all we got, no, that's not true.
Well, let me clarify it then. What I mean is the way that our government is set up, they are supposed to be our party.
Yeah, they're not.
When we get strong and we wake up and we stop.
All right. Well, just say no to fascism.com. Sorry, Mark, you disappeared. I don't know what happened. Pay your damn cell phone bill. You're just like Brother Sky Blue at Memphis. All right, quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stick around, okay? This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush says radical Islam is one of the main sources of resistance to freedom. In his State of the Union address, Bush said terrorists twist the Muslim faith into an ideology of terror and death. He argued that they want to use Iraq as a safe haven to launch attacks against the U.S. and other countries.
On September the 11th, 2001, we found that problems originating in a failed and oppressive state 7,000 miles away could bring murder and destruction to our country. Dictatorships shelter terrorists and feed resentment and radicalism and seek weapons of mass destruction.
And the president honored the late Coretta Scott King at the beginning of his State of the Union address.
Today our nation lost a beloved, graceful, courageous woman who called America to its founding ideals and carried on a noble dream. And we are grateful for the good life of Coretta Scott King.
Mrs. King passed away Monday at the age of 78. In his address, the president included a defense of his policy of what he called the advance of freedom, calling it the story of our time, and he defended the continuing war in Iraq, saying radical Islam's goal is to seize Iraq, making it the launching point for future attacks against America and the world. Before the president entered the House chamber for his address, anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan was arrested by Capitol Police while seated in the balcony. One report says it involved a banner Sheehan allegedly carried into the House chamber. Samuel Alito joined President Bush at the White House as the U.S. Senate voted Tuesday to confirm his nomination to the Supreme Court. He was then taken to the High Court, where Chief Justice John Roberts swore him in as the 110th Associate Justice. Alito, dressed in his judicial robe, joined his eight new colleagues in the front row of the joint session of Congress for the President's State of the Union address. $57 billion, that's the estimated loss by American consumers caused by identity theft. The Council of Better Business Bureaus released the study which showed the losses growing another 4% in 2005 over the year before. And the study found that the victims of identity thieves are more likely to be those who can least afford it, the young and low-income Americans. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you. music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon you now.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple emails here about Cindy Sheehan's adventure tonight. Busted for wearing a T-shirt that had the truth printed on it. That's all, just wearing the T-shirt. She didn't pound the podium. She didn't stand up. She didn't lie to the assembled masses. She didn't bare her breasts. She didn't set off firecrackers. She didn't dump a bucket of urine on the people sitting below. She went in, sat down, took off her coat. And she had a T-shirt on that had the number of dead Americans so far in Iraq. The official number, not the real number. Just like what I just read from 1984, Winston Smith's job. Keep altering everything. Keep updating it. Keep changing history. Sure. From Simon in Canada, in the best tradition of peaceful resistance, Cindy Sheehan has been arrested, and now the whole world is talking about her message far more than would have been if she had just been ignored. Once again, Cindy wins, Bush loses. This is from Angus. To all of you on the internet saying this woman does or does not speak for you, it doesn't matter. Get your swelled heads out of the clouds and realize that she speaks for someone far more important, the truth. The truth is not partisan, the truth does not take sides, and the truth will not alter itself to fit your agenda. She was announcing that more than 2,000 American soldiers have died so far. That is a fact. And if that's not speaking for you, well, I am used to war supporters declaring themselves enemies of the truth. Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, guys. Like I said, I've just gotten just an overwhelming number of emails tonight that are very good, and I appreciate it. I wish I could read them all. One other thing I wanted to mention here, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. God, was it 10 years ago? 10 years ago, February 1996. We were still in Atlanta. We hadn't gone to Chicago yet, had we, Kathy? And somebody sent me an email and said, you got to check out, there's this guy out in Oklahoma putting together a website. His name is Bart Kopp. I said, oh, okay, sure. Yeah, all right. Delete. It wasn't until about a year later that I really got tuned in to BartKopp.com. Are you all familiar with this? He's been online for 10 years. He has a radio program. And is it online radio program? I haven't subscribed to Bart Kopp, so I can't. He offered one time. He said, I'll give you the programs free. And I said, no, that's not fair. He said, well, I was just kidding. I need the money. But if you haven't gone to BartKopp.com, let me just say that it is one of the best sites on the internet. Now, Bart always says that consortiumnews.com, is it .com, is the most important site on the internet, and he may be right. But one of the most entertaining is BartKopp.com. So if you haven't gone there, go. It's just some of the humor there and the links and the stuff, it's amazing. And he runs that site the way we run this radio program. What does he have, Kathy? A staff of himself? And I think his wife assists a bit, and maybe, I guess he's got a couple of people that help out a little bit. But it's a one or two or three or maybe four-person operation at any given time from Oklahoma, for God's sake. No offense to Oklahomans, but you know, you just don't expect something as powerfully progressive and liberal as BartKopp.com coming out of Oklahoma. Now, he and I don't agree on everything. We have a bone of contention between us, he doesn't know this, about Hillary Clinton. He's a great supporter of Hillary, and you know my feelings about her. But I'm on the same page as Bart Kopp on just damn near everything. And it's not, you know, I don't go there to be reinforced. I go there because it's so damned entertaining to check and informative to check out his website. Is this, what am I doing? I'm not giving you a pitch. He's not asking for money. I'm just saying, man, 10 years, this guy has been turning out some of the best internet humor, political humor out there. So check him out.
And you go there to steal.
That's right. I steal a lot of material from Bart Kopp. Over the years, I've tried to back off because there are much more websites now to steal from. But in the beginning, I didn't have that many that I could steal from. And Bart Kopp was in an unending supply of good material that wound up in my program. And occasionally I would credit him, and occasionally I'd just pretend like it was all mine. You know, and I'm sure that some sort of karmic smack in the face is going to come back for that one. But I credit everybody now. I don't take anybody's stuff without lots and lots of credit. But if you go to send him an email. What's his email? Bart Kopp. I don't know. Bart@bartkopp.com. Is that what it is, Kathy? Bart@bartkopp. Just like it sounds. .com. Send him an email. Just say congratulations, happy 10th anniversary, and go check out the site. You know, I said a long time ago, I usually begin my day at BuzzFlash for obvious reasons, and I end my day usually at 2 o'clock in the morning at Bart Kopp. And in the middle, during the program, you know, I hang out with Democratic Underground, I hang out with Common Dreams, I hang out with Truth Out, wherever Will Pitt's lurking, I try to hang out with him a little bit, you know. But I start the day with Buzz Flash, and I wind up the day with Bart Kopp. He usually doesn't have his site completely up for the day until late afternoon anyway, does he? Is it late afternoon, early evening? All right, that's all I got to say. I think he's a great American. He is one of the most honest people I have ever not met. We've never met. We've had conversations on the phone. But I'll tell you, when the barricades go up, as they might, I wouldn't mind being in the immediate vicinity, fully armed, of course, with Bart Kopp and his crew. Love you, Bart. Happy anniversary. Happy 10th. Keep the hammer clunking, bro. Let's do some phone calls here, I say. Dave is calling from Albuquerque. Dave, welcome to the program. Yo, Dave. Is Dave there? I can't hear you, Dave. Let's put Dave on hold and see what happens if we put him on hold and try Brian, who's calling in from Manhattan. Brian, welcome to the program.
Oh, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right under the circumstances.
Yeah, know. I hear that.
But just some of the fine points of Bush's speech, like he's supposedly the president that's going to make us free of oil as a source of energy.
Yeah, right.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, he's going to free us from having to breathe oxygen too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the Fox is going to, you know, have a new program to protect the hen house.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
So and that among many other points that I think that basically, you know, it was basically the same speech that he gave all 5 years. But as events unfolded, like Hurricane Katrina,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of other events, I hope the American people have the sense to finally see through all the, the prepared speech, you know, and to get to the nitty gritty of what's really going on, and I'm sure if they just, you know, to quote that what Reagan said, you know what I mean, which is like, you know, with this guy's, you know, you ask yourself, are you like better off than you were?
Yeah. You notice they don't ask that anymore.
They don't ask that anymore because it's so obvious. I mean, his prescription drug program for the seniors, you know, where now they're paying more and that you can't even understand what you're being billed for, what you have to do for the program.
All right, what the hell is going on here? Is that Brian? Brian in Manhattan? I'm sorry, pal. I don't know what's happening. We got glitches again in our phone system. This is Air America.
I'm running on the legs of responsibility. So love me or you hate me. Don't misunderestimate me. Don't misunderestimate me.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects.